This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You need surgery.
Bisexuality.
Bisexual.
I'm bisexual.
Bisexual.
Triple bypass.
Bisexual.
Bisexual.
Bisexuality.
Bisexual.
The best of both worlds.
Triple bypass on Joy 94.9.
That's right. You've just tuned into Triple Bypass with Ruby and Jess. We acknowledge that we broadcast on the unceded lands of the Kulin Nations and acknowledge and pay our respects to the elders past, present and emerging. We also acknowledge and pay a special respect to the brother boys and sister girls of the Aboriginal LGBTIA community. Thanks to Urban Dreaming for an excellent show, giving some much needed insight and perspective on the rather shocking sunrise interview this morning. If you missed it, definitely check out that podcast at joy.org.au/urban dreaming or on iTunes. Should be up soon. Stay tuned. Me and Jess will be right back. Coming up, this is the song by Living Colour. This is Joy.
Everybody loves you when you're by. The tension and the passion's double amplified.
Everybody wants you when you're by.
sexuality.
Oh, wow.
Yes, all the ways, in fact. That was Living Colour with their amazing song, Bi. What I love about that is the band, none of the members were out as bisexual. They just thought it was a real cool sexuality. And so they wrote a really lovely song about it.
It's the best one.
It's a pretty grooving track. Anyway, this, you're listening, you might have guessed, to Triple Bypass, the bisexuality
what
program.
What gave it away, I wonder?
My name's Ruby.
And I'm Jess.
And okay. We're here for all of you B's, P's and Q's, you multigender attracted people. This is your show. We are very excited to have some, we've got some great guests coming up. We're joined by the CEO of Melbourne video game company Mighty Serious, Al Gibb. I just think that's a really powerful name. It's a short, like, you know, just two syllables, like Al Gibb, like yeah. Max Power. And also Josh Malou, we've had on the show before, who is a professional or a semi-professional bi. In his own words, also a psychologist, and he helped consult on a game that is hoping to deliver some behavioural changes through gamification. So that's going to be coming up, so stay tuned. But what we're going to start off with is, so this week I was a bad bi. And I was a bad bi because I did not know it was Bi Health Month. And it is now the 13th, so yeah. I feel like I've missed the first half. And my health will suffer as a result.
Your health may suffer purely because you're just going to internalise all that guilt now, Ruby.
Oh, like, that never happens to bisexuals. What do you mean we internalise things? But I thought we were just open and visible and, oh.
No, you're getting that confused. Very confused.
I know. Maybe it's just a phase. No,
we love the puns. All the puns.
Does that make us bad boys? Probably.
No, I'm pretty sure that's actually a requirement, unfortunately, because I hate puns, but, you know, since making sure I'm out and proud, I'm just rolling with the punches.
We just have to fit the stereotype.
Did you get that one? You missed that one.
I'm rolling with the punches.
Rolling with the punches. The punches.
Oh, I get it. No. Get out of my studio. It's fine. But I suppose one of the other reasons I was thinking around, like, this idea of, like, being a bad bi is because there was this great article I read on bi.org, which is basically a woman saying she's like, I will not be breaking the stereotypes of bisexuality, and that's okay. So she's like, I'm pansexual. You know, I have open relationships. I don't want monogamy. I don't want these things. Yep. And these are all things that unfortunately reinforce stereotypes, but I shouldn't have to live my life by trying to disprove things that are harmful and aren't based in reality anyway.
And I think, like, that was something that I definitely really struggled with my own sexuality and wanting so hard to making sure that we were coming out and creating this visibility but not perpetuating those stereotypes.
Yeah.
And at the same time, you are who you are and you want to do what you want to do, and as long as you're not hurting anyone, why does that have to be sort of...
Yeah. I felt like with me, like, I felt this frustration at first until I kind of understood things a bit better. I was like, well, why do we always do things with the poly community? Because being bisexual and polyamorous are different things and we shouldn't conflate them. Yeah. But then, of course, it's like... This idea of trying to, like, you know, prove that we're good enough, it's just, you know, or prove that we're not like that. It's like, well, polyamory is not cheating in the first place anyway.
That's right. Yep.
And, you know, why is it that other people can be polyamorous and this is somehow an issue for our community? Why is it an issue in the first place? And maybe it's possible that when people start to look beyond gender, these are concepts of monogamy just don't seem quite as solid or foundational as they did. Well, that's been my case anyway. I haven't got a whole lot of free time is my biggest constraint. Like, that's just not happening. Like, I can barely fit one person in.
Let alone one for every day of the week.
Yeah. Do people do that?
I don't know.
God.
I don't know. I'm the same as you. I don't have a lot of time for it, but it's something that I don't think should be crossed off your checklist if it's something you're interested in just because you don't want to perpetuate a stereotype.
You shouldn't have to change anything about yourself in case because, you know, the stereotypes are, the whole point of them is that they're assumptions made without any prior knowledge.
Correct. And I think that's the biggest thing here is that misinformation that's not within the community, but externally presented or you know, forced onto our
projected
community. Yeah. I think that's what really creates that internalized guilt and shame for a lot of bisexuals.
Well, yeah, I know that, like, you know, bisexual people who identify as women will often feel guilty when they start dating men because we've been told a lot, like, you know, oh, you're always going to default back to guys.
Yeah.
So it's like, oh, damn it. What if, like, I'm not being a good enough queer right now? Or like, oh, all those things that those angry lesbians told me are right. I'm you know, I'm betraying my community. I'm not being queer enough. And all those things that, so you feel this need to kind of protect against it. And then you can also just kind of say, or I could just talk to my wonderful bi and pan and queer friends and
have
them who get it and will help me build up that validation till I can provide it for myself.
Essentially, you're damned if you do and you're damned if you don't, in the sense that if, you know, you're into monogamy and you're dating someone of a particular, well, we'll say cisgendered, you know, you're defaulting.
Yep.
And if you're poly, well, then you're that stereotype who's promiscuous.
Yeah.
No, they are not, like, mutually exclusive things.
It's a trap. It's the whole point. It's a trap.
Exactly.
The best way to win is not to play. If you guys have any examples of things that have made you feel like, you know, oh, am I being a bad bi? You're not. But if you want to tell us about it, you can on 0427-JOY-949 or email us at onair@joy.org.au. You can also check us out on Facebook at Triple Bypass. That's with an I. Someone commented saying he was very confused because he was looking for surgical procedures. We don't do those. No qualifications. You can also find us on Twitter at Triple Bypass. We'll be coming back real soon and we'll be joined then with our wonderful guests. And one of those guests has chosen this next song coming up, Don't Leave Me This Way. Now, I keep on reading that as The Comrades, and I know that's not what it is.
Pretty sure it's The Communards. I'm pretty sure.
That's even better.
Am I right? I'm so right. I'm getting nods from Al Gibb. Oh, my God.
Validation. Sweet, sweet validation. Well, Don't Leave Me This Way by The Communards, which is an amazing name. It'll be coming up after this break. This is Triple Bypass. Stay tuned. You're on Joy. That's right. This is Joy 94.9 and you have tuned in to Triple Bypass. We're here for the Bi Plus community, those who love beyond the gender binary. It's good fun. My name's Ruby.
Hey, I'm Jess.
And that was Don't Leave Me This Way by the Communards. And I definitely know that song. Didn't know the band was called the Communards, though. That's amazing. Anyway, so we have just, before the hour, we were just talking about how it is Bi Health Month, and neither of us had known that. We were bad buys.
We were bad buys.
Bad buys. But we are now joined by Al Gibb and Josh Muller to talk about a video game project that aims to change behaviours with some game theory. So firstly, Al, so you are the... thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you very much for having me.
And you too, Josh.
Oh, it's so great being back again.
It's so good to have you back. So many professional bi buddies. Now, Al, we won't hold you not being bisexual against you, I promise.
Sorry.
You should be.
We think you're cool anyway, just purely based on song choice and hairstyle.
But I suppose we can't really ask, so I suppose you're automatically the worst bi in the room.
I forgot to be bi.
You forgot? See, look. This time, did your dog eat your pie? What about you, Josh? Did you anything moments this week where you're like, I'm a bad bi?
Well, no, we were talking before. I was saying how I'm actually the best bi this week. I went to a bi meeting. I've been wearing my bi pins.
Sorry, you just reminded me of one of those Best Buy things that they have at Coles when they like put something on special.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I'm special.
He's real special and cheap.
Give me a ticket.
No, you've got it. So you can't see it, of course, auditory medium. But Josh has a pretty sweet bi pin, which is a bismuth, the element.
Yeah,
yes.
It's by OU Fox. It's a local designer.
Yeah, and you can grab their stuff on Etsy, which is real cool.
Yeah,
there's not a lot of stuff that is made in Australia for bi badges. Mm. I'm a big fan of the badges myself too. But so Al, you are the CEO of Mighty Series, a video game company based in Melbourne. Now, I was excited to hear we still had video game companies in Melbourne. I thought we lost a lot of those.
We've got 133 studios.
Wow.
In Melbourne, is about half of the Australian industry is based right here.
Oh, that's amazing.
Mm, it's great.
Wow, that's a lot.
And so Mighty Series has recently partnered with the Andrews government and VAC and the Victorian University, and basically looking at a combating homophobia project. Is that right?
Correct. Yeah,
please,
it's exciting.
Tell us more.
Well, the project came out by the Andrews government kind of around about 6 months ago, and they went out to the creative industries to ask if there was any way that they could help change homophobic beliefs and behaviours in Victoria.
Mm-hmm.
So as a games company, part of the creative industries here in Victoria, we thought we would put in an application to let them know how we could do it.
That's amazing.
And they were fans?
They were big fans. Yeah.
Okay. Video games are so hot right now. So it's really interesting. So the game's coming out in December. So you're still in research and pre-production, is that right?
We went through a big research phase with our great partner, Victoria University.
Mm-hmm.
They teamed up with Gay and Lesbian Health Victoria and did an amazing lit review for us on around about 30 years of homophobia research in Australia. So it was it was incredible. And what we wanted from that was to find out who the most homophobic groups are, as in who we should build the game for.
Yeah.
So what we were really looking for is who's the player.
Interesting. So would it be similar to when we were looking at the votes that were coming out? You know, we broke down the demographics of who was going to vote yes or no for the marriage equality survey. Was the groups with homophobia, was that a similar demographic? So, you know, for example, are men were more likely to vote no than women? Older ages are more likely to vote no than younger age groups? And so, Josh, you were a consultant on this project, is that right?
I was. So I'm a psychologist working at the Mind Equality Centre, but for this project I was putting on a slightly different hat, thinking about my connection with games and also about behavioural change and especially kind of a positive psychology spin on it.
Mm.
I was a consultant as part of the design process, trying to bring together LGBTI organisations and research and psychology and game design and had a ball doing it. It was a lot of fun.
Very interwoven project. How do you... Well, okay, so what is your target audience? Obviously people who would generally tend to have, you know, homophobic, I guess, preconceived ideas.
Yeah.
And so that's obviously your main target base, but is there an age demographic, you know, gender demographic? What... Yeah. Who are you really targeting this for?
So you are correct. Males are more homophobic. And when, when we're talking about homophobia, we're also talking about biphobia and transphobia and all the LGBTI phobias.
Yes. Well done.
So, and there was quite a bit of talk on the day about what word we use for that and how do we talk about that in shorthand while still being inclusive. No final golden answer on that, but I promise that it was all very much involved. And actually looking at audiences who were exhibiting these types of behaviours, if they exhibited one, it tended to be exhibited most of them.
Much like many things, I think bigotry is on a spectrum. So once you've kind of decided a few people aren't as important as you or aren't as good or valuable, it's much easier to start regulating everybody else to assign them a lesser value, in my opinion.
So there was two groups of males that were more homophobic than others. The first one you've identified as older males, but there was also a very interesting group which are 14 to 17 year old boys.
The kind of guys who are like, oh, that's gay,
kind of.
Yeah
There's a lot of stuff going on for them. And when we looked at those two groups, we felt if we built a game to the younger audience, we might have more of a chance.
I reckon you're much more likely to get the 14-year-olds playing a video game than someone in their mid-60s at this point.
I hope so.
And so, so what are the what role is the Victoria University and VAC bringing? So, what are they bringing to the project? Is it just like, was it more consultation? Was it office spaces? Was it data?
So, when we work on a social impact game, we're pretty good at making the game, but we often need some help and support in understanding the actual issue. So we partner up with organizations who want a similar change as we do, but that are much closer to the actual issue. So VAC came on board primarily to be this sort of voice of the person that was receiving outcome of the homophobic belief and behaviour. And they were amazing. And in fact, the representative from VAC, Colin, he actually had a media background, so he was great in terms of his ability to recognise what we were trying to do in terms of storytelling in a game as well.
I imagine there'd be quite a difference between, yes, you've got all this information around, you know, who these demographics are, what are the causes of homophobia, how can you tackle homophobia, and then projecting that in or injecting that into a game and creating a game that is tackling those issues while still being informative. And I feel like to bring those two together would take quite a lot of consultation.
I think it's interesting because storytelling is always one of the best ways to engage people and to kind of get them to see from a new perspective. So it makes sense that an interactive story has a real good potential, particularly if they don't know that that's what the game is about at first, or if they're not, you know, playing for that particular reason. It's all going to be, you know, I'm excited for December when it comes out. So is it, this is not a mobile app, this is like a PC console game, or is this going to be on Steam? Or
it's going to be on Steam, it's going to be on PC. So also what the research told us was that 14 to 17 year old boys are playing PC games. So all of that
consoles
sort of intelligence all of that intelligence allows us to build something that they are automatically going to be attracted to.
It's accessible for them, and that's one of the key things if you're going to be going to all this trouble, is that making sure that it is accessible for that audience
and affordable. Like, you know, games are still like what, 70-90 bucks if you play them on console here a lot of the time. Not as much of an issue on Steam, where you can get. Look, I would love to. We'll talk a bit more about games for change and, like, you know, what indicates that these things work. What other projects are there? I've never heard of video games being used to change mass behavior before, but I like it. I think that sounds excellent.
Nerd coming out. Nerd alert. Nerd alert.
Oh, you just wait. There's so much nerd going to come out later on. I'm keeping it. I'm saving it. I'm saving it for later. It's gathering interest. We're going to be coming right back after this short break, so don't go anywhere. You're listening to Triple Bypass on Joy.
Devotion, I have prayed.
That's right. You're listening to Joy 94.9, and this is Triple Bypass. That song was Satanic Black Devotion from the album Why Do the Heathen Rage by the Soft Pink Truth. Now, my name's Ruby.
I'm Jess.
And we are very happy to be joined by Al Gibb and Josh Muller to talk about a video game project that aims to change behaviours, particularly homophobia. That's coming out in December. Now, that was... Josh, that was your choice for song.
It was.
Please explain.
So I hear a lot of pop music on this radio station, and while that's lovely and great, I also love to hear a bit of metal. You asked me for a queer artist or a bi artist. This guy, Drew Daniel, is super queer. The title of this like kind of article about the album on Noisy is The Soft Pink Truth, Not the Queer Satanic Weird Al Yankovic, which I thought was pretty irresistible as a band.
I like their little samples in that song as well.
Totally.
Yeah, but a bit different to what we usually play as well. I dug it. That wasn't the song I meant to play, but it was real good. You can find more of their stuff on Bandcamp, so check it out. Awesome. So we've been talking about a project that... So Al is the CEO of Mighty Serious, a video game company based here in Melbourne, that are working on a project along with the Andrews Labor Government, VAC, and the Victorian University to combat homophobia through a game.
Through a game.
I'm just thinking of The Matrix now. So we've been previously talking about the kind of thoughts that have gone into this project, and so Josh was one of the consultants. If you've just tuned in now and you're worried, don't worry. We're putting all this episode up as a podcast later, which you can access at joy.org.au/dualbypass. Also on iTunes or on your favourite podcasting platform. We'll also post it up on Facebook. Now, speaking of that, we also got a quick message in from our intern, John, who couldn't make it in tonight, which is, have a great show. Don't leave me this way. It's one of my favourites. I'm an 80s boy, after all. Mm. Now, that was your choice, wasn't it, Al?
It was. I'm an 80s boy, too.
I was not born in that time.
I was just 89.
Just snuck in there. So we've been talking a bit about this game project, and so I suppose this idea of a game that... can change people's mentality, also games for change. Is that something that has started to happen a bit more as video games kind of become a lot more mainstream?
Yeah, right. So I think that's a big part of it. And like, you know, if you've listened to Checkpoint at all, you've heard about how much for queer gamers, games are really important.
And there's a lot of queer gamers.
Right. Well, there's a lot of gamers full stop, actually. Yeah. It's a incredibly important new media that is really pioneering very interesting ideas in change and culture, and it's actually a really brilliant vehicle for behavioural change as well, and I think an exciting space for that.
And Josh is a psychologist, so he knows the brain, so he knows how to change it. And so Al, this was basically, you said that the Andrews Labor government basically put out something saying, who's got ideas on how we can tackle homophobia?
Right.
And so Mighty Serious put forward, we think we could do it with a game.
Yep.
So what attracted you to this idea of challenging homophobia, particularly in, the demographic you mentioned was 14 to 17-year-old boys? Mm-hmm. Because 60-year-olds don't play video games as much.
Not so much.
Given a generation.
My nonna would totally beg to differ, just throwing it out there.
Hashtag not all 60-year-olds.
Yeah.
But, you know, so what kind of drew you to this project, and what made you think that this would be something that you could, that a Mighty Serious could attempt?
Well, as Josh mentioned, I believe that video games is the medium of the century. People are more and more being drawn to games, not only the big console games, but little mobile apps, little casual games. You know, people are using it for distraction. People are using it for learning. People are on a screen more and more. And with a game, unlike a film or TV, you actually can influence and interact with it. But the thing is, you can't influence anything that a games developer hasn't created. So if you're in a game and you want to walk through the door, you can't do that unless the game developer has built the door for you to walk through. So you have a certain sense of agency within it, but you're quite limited to what the designer has designed. So we're thinking, why don't we design a game that offers interesting moral choices, and we will track those choices, and then we'll will see if you can make better choices within that game environment.
So kind of bringing a lot more awareness to the consequences of particular choices, maybe. No spoilers, though.
So some of what you mentioned before, like what role did VAC have to play?
Yeah.
And from my perspective, some of VAC's role there, and actually VU's role, was looking at it as a public health issue.
Yeah.
VAC has delivered a huge number of really incredible public health campaigns, but not through games yet.
Yeah.
And I think, like, this is really a public health issue that the effects of homophobia and transphobia and stigma and biphobia are horrible on community. And so if we can do things to reduce that, whether it's through a video game or through whatever, I think it's worth a shot.
And I think the government were also curious about the potential reach that a game could have as opposed to another project.
Yeah.
I mean, literally, if a game's successful, you could have millions of people playing it around the world within 24 hours.
Wow. I hope the game has, like, a lot of, like, Australian colloquialism, so it's like, oh, good day, mate. Today we're going to tackle homophobia, the most dangerous beast in this land.
Biphobia.
Biphobia too, absolutely. Well, actually, well, I'm going to jump back onto that soon, because I'd love to know what...
Because it is Bi Health Month.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I'm really curious to know how you guys incorporated that when you were looking at all of the bigotry that you were trying to, I guess, tackle and educate people on. So it'd be really good to know how you were inclusive with, you know, external from just homophobia and included transphobia, biphobia.
Well, that's where we really needed to rely on the expertise of our partners to bring all of that intelligence to the workshop. So we ran a two-day workshop, and there was about 16 people there. Half of them were games people, half of them were non-games people. Excellent. But even within the games group, it was, in my opinion, very diverse.
We had pretty good queer representation in the room from across communities, which I was really excited to see, and those people will be kind of have continued involvement in the creation of that game, which is stellar.
Yeah, and like, especially as we're developing, start to develop the narrative and the art, we're definitely going to involve the communities more, just to make sure that we're reflecting appropriately.
Yeah. Well, so Josh and Jess and myself are all members of one of the advocacy groups for bisexuals, and so I've faith that if Josh says it's not deeply problematic, then it's all we're doing all right. Yeah.
Don't worry, I'll be what, crossing the bees, or I'll be checking.
I see what you did.
Bending the bees to get the little loopets. We're already pretty bent, eh?
I'll be reading the list and checking it twice.
There you go. More than once.
More than once.
So actually, just before, we've got a few minutes, we've got to go to another song. What do you reckon? So just a bit of fun. If you were just doing a game that was just about tackling biphobia, what's the fun ways we could do it? Because we actually had a message on Facebook from Justin. Thanks so much for messing up from WA, who says he loves the show, listens every week, but one thing that seems to be overlooked is that being a male bisexual is more socially taboo than being a woman. So woman dating a straight guy, yay, threesome. Bi guy, well, you won't even get a first date when you're out. Absolutely. I would say that, you know, the yay threesome thing is great if you want to have a threesome, but it's also not the best assumption for people to be making about someone they've just met. But you're absolutely right. I think bi men particularly I think one of the least visible people, like, in the entire community. I think about, we're looking at 10-15%. So Josh is a rare and fantastic breed.
Thank you.
But so we're doing a game about how to, like, you know, how to, like, escape biphobia. How would you, that's like, ask someone to be in a threesome, just electric shocks you.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah.
Oh, I like that. Make it like a VR game.
Yeah. But like, with an actual, like, that actually shocks you if you do really awful things.
Well, maybe like a stealth game where you have the power of invisibility.
Yes. Except for one day of the year.
Yeah.
It's like, no one's looking. Like, take them, steal their wallets.
And I feel like, you know how every game, basically your avatar has got something, some sort of tool? I think a massive big eraser. I just think that's what they need.
And they're going to start rubbing everything else out.
Yep.
It'd all be totally, like, pink and blue and purple wash colour scheme.
Yes,
all of the like neon noir kind of stuff that's coming out right now.
Excellent. So you can have this idea for free, Al. You look so
great.
CEO of Mighty Sirius, he's taking our idea. We're going to hold you to that. Guys, we'll be right back. We're going to another song by the band Crystal Meth. This one's called Moonstone. So stay tuned. This is Triple Bypass and you're on Joy.
Joy 94.9, Australia's best radio station.
Yeah, we are. This is Triple Bypass on Joy 94.9. That was the song Moonstone by the Aussie band Crystal Meth. You're listening to Triple Bypass, here to put the B and also the P and the Q in the LGBTI family. The Bys are in charge of the airwaves. My name is Ruby.
Hey guys, I'm Jess.
And we are have been joined by Al Gibb and Josh Muller to talk about a project with Mighty Sirius, which is Al Gibb, the company Al Gibb is CEO of, a video game development studio that is working with the Andrews government, the VAC and Victoria University to create a game to combat homophobia. And it's been quite exciting to talk about this idea of games that can create social and behavioural change, and you know, this idea of games for change and the new medium that it is.
Yep.
So if you want to listen to it and you're just tuning in now, we'll put out the podcast soon.
And I really like that you brought up before, Josh, that it is a public health issue, really, and that it's something that hopefully with this game that we will be tackling as a community. I think from what you guys are saying too, you'll be able to get it really quite widespread,
through
and it's going to be so accessible to so many different people. So, I mean, obviously we're hopeful that the people that it's targeted for are going to be downloading it, given that it is a game targeting bigotry. We hope the bigoted ones actually get onto the game.
We hope we Trojan horse the hell out.
Oh, yeah.
It was strange trying to find... Normally when you're making a game, you might just go and ask the people that you're making it for.
Yeah.
Like, oh, what do you want to play, or what do you like doing, or, you know... What are you all about? But as hard as I tried, I couldn't find any groups to put the hand up.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
And also, we're talking about this on Joy, which I think is also on a bi-focused radio show, which I think is awesome. But all of the audience who are listening right now,
they're all rooting for you guys, basically.
Yeah.
Because we don't want the ones that aren't to know this game is coming.
Exactly. So have you strategized how you're going to, what did you label it as? Trojan horse?
Trojan horses.
This? Yep. Mm. Have you guys strategized how you're going to target those groups sort of so that they aren't aware but become aware?
We're going to build a game that they're going to want to pick up. We're going to build a game that they're picking up already.
Yep.
Yeah, right.
So we're going to play into their interest area.
Ooh,
and then once they're in the game for a good amount of time, once they're really invested and attached to the game, then we're going to start dropping in some moral decisions and moral choices, and we're going to track the decisions that they make within the game.
Oh, I love it.
That actually answers a text we just got in from John in Fitzroy, which is, how do you get these prejudiced 14 to 17-year-olds to play the game? You don't tell them what it's about.
Right. And we, like, the ideas throughout the design days were making a game that is fun for this audience. We're, like, I appreciate, like, the Trojan horse idea, but we also talked a lot about, like, sort of the ethics and what is our mindset around how like sneaky or hidden we're being and what's ethical and also what's effective behavioral change. The balance between being like totally in your face explicitly saying to them 5 minutes into the game, biophobia is wrong, this is what it looks like, stop doing it.
It's not effective.
It's not effective, but it is explicit and it is direct. But that teenager is going to immediately stop playing that game. Yeah. It's not a fun game to play.
Teach me things?
Right.
I'm out.
Who likes playing educational games?
Yeah. I used to play Math Blaster.
Remember
that
one?
Too.
Oh, yeah, wow.
That's
great.
We actually got a message in as well from Gwendolyn, who asked if there are any existing games that are queer-friendly. So Josh actually put me onto queerlyrepresent.me, which has an entire database of games that are LGBTIQ plus inclusive. But as far as my personal experience, Undertale's real good. Undertale, I mean, like, no one is a human being, but there are same-sex relationships. And also, I'm a big fan of the BioWare original games, so the Mass Effect and Dragon Age trilogy. Yeah. They're the games that kind of got me really being able to experiment and, like, to have queer characters. I think Dragon Age 2, all the love interests, but one who's DLC, so who cares. Downloadable content, Sebastian is boring. The rest are all bisexual, which I was a big fan of. And someone's like, it's unrealistic. I'm like,
well,
look, we do hang out and pairs with each other.
There's also a really tricky thing around that, though, around those characters being more like player sexual than truly bisexual.
Yeah.
And so it was quite a concerted effort in the third Dragon Age game to make characters distinctly their own sexuality, regardless of what gender the player chose.
But interestingly, I think with that one, Dragon Age Inquisition is probably one of the most nuanced as far as having sexual and gender representation. They have a trans male character, Krim, and you know that's a big part of the story as well, and like, and his transition and what he's dealt with is dealt with in the story. But I found again that the characters who were bisexual, it wasn't as big a part of their story as it was for the two characters that were coded gay and lesbian, so it still wasn't really brought up. So both the gay male character Dorian, like, had struggled with his family and there'd been a lot of stuff going around there. And Sarah, who's a lesbian, she also was very explicit from the beginning of having a preference for tall, muscly women and, like, you know, how she had experiences with guys that were really negative and, like, just not wanting to be around that. While the few characters that are multigender attracted, one of them is a manipulative dominatrix. Well, what's the male term for a dominatrix?
Dom.
A dom? Just a dom.
A dom.
And who does, you know, spoiler alert, does use sex to manipulate people regularly.
Mm. That's not a dom. I'm putting that.
No. That's the character.
But I want it. This is important for people who are exploring their kink side. Mm. If someone is manipulating you, that is not a professional dom. That is not a personal dom. That is an abuser, and you need to back away straight away. Huge, huge, huge no on that. Sorry, but that's my high horse.
That's all right. We just got a message in from John asking, BioShock isn't about being bi, is it? Well, you do get magical powers, and you can be invisible.
I like the way you text that. That's so good. That's awesome.
Would you kindly move on from that topic?
Yes.
That was a game of joke.
It was. Yes. It's a good one, too. If you got that, message us and let us know. You can message us on 0427JOY949 or email us at onair@joy.org.au. Quick, though, we are wrapping up for the evening. Coming up next is Jason with Local Roots with some great Aussie music. But so what's been one of your favourite experiences recently, like, as far as finding games that are queer inclusive? Al? Have you been able to play?
Much better to answer this one.
Have you been able to play any games recently, or have you been a bit stuck with the building?
Oh, just been too busy navigating, getting the development on track.
Yeah.
And just dealing with the partners. Yeah, no, I haven't had a lot of time to play games recently.
I mean, I have been playing a ton of Monster Hunter, where the character that we're playing is, like, you know, in our minds canonically genderqueer,
yeah,
and they're, like, the femme body but have these mad sideburns.
Yeah.
Really cool. It's, like, purple hair and stuff.
Oh, that's really cool.
But also Before the Storm, which is that game that you were mentioning before.
Mm. It's not The Last of Us. Excuse me, I keep on going to it.
I'm getting a mental blank. Before the Storm. But it's a episodic, like, young person romance story that can be played as, like, a platonic friendship between two young women, or as a more romantic sexual relationship.
Yeah, and so that's actually, I think it's a good example, I reckon, of bi representation, because the character you play as, Max, so she can be in a relationship with a man and a woman, and, like, you know, when she's with either of them, there's no thing of I'm straight or I'm a lesbian. It's just that this is the person I'm attracted to, and this is what I want to do. And I like that a lot.
Yeah.
No, it is Bi Health Month, so that game is not particularly healthy for bis. There's a lot of stress involved. I couldn't find the name, and I feel really frustrated. I'm going to have to look it up. Also, I think, what is it, The Last of Us, the Ellie is bi. Bi, she's gay. So she's a demon surviving, a zombie surviving little lesbian, and I love that. That's beautiful. That was with Naughty Dog. Life is Strange.
Life is Strange, yeah.
I just felt the tension in the room melt away. It's all a relief.
Life is Strange Before the Storm is the newest release, where it focuses on Chloe's story.
Yeah, and Life is Strange, it's 5 episodes, and that came out a few years ago now, I think. But as far as games that are coming up, I think it's something that we're seeing a lot with AAA studios. I want to ask, tell me, will there be loot boxes in your game? Al?
No.
I'm so glad.
I don't think so. That's not happening. About a loot box so far from the team.
There has been a lot of talk in kind of games industry or games audiences around
the ethics
of loot boxes, but I suppose also more broadly around how game designers choose different mechanics to manipulate different behaviours. So, like, loot boxes is one of those that is maybe, like, much more into the territory of gambling.
Because all the desired behaviour is give us all your money.
Right, and it's very effective.
Yes, especially with children.
Right, and also just ideas of, like, what do we think is a good game? Is it a game where you play for hours and hours and hours? Is it a game where you play for a short amount of time and it feels really great? You know, all of these ideas of, like, games as art, games as entertainment, games as tools.
Yeah. And so there won't be loot boxes, but there'll definitely be rewards for making better decisions.
Oh, yeah, nice. Excellent.
You guys, I really feel like you guys have really thought in a lot of depth about it and really covered all your bases. I am feeling very hopeful after hearing you guys speak.
I'm excited. So we'll be able to grab that on Steam in December. So
listen out for the launch. I'm sure you guys will be having a launch and will you be able to have a launch
or will you have to do like a buy launch and be invisible?
We will have a launch. It perhaps might not be under Mighty Sirius, but
that's all right.
We will be launching it, of course.
Will it be like a little secret, like, you know, pop-up launch?
Oh, it'll be a big launch. But it might not be overt about what we're trying to do.
Of course. But it still will be great to...
No, but I love that. It's like a double faint. Yeah, you're just like, we're so excited to release this game.
Keep your eye out for local games coming out in December, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely.
And support local video game industry.
Absolutely. Yes. So
133 studios.
In Melbourne.
In Melbourne.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, really strong.
Well, we will have to start wrapping up. I suppose if there's anything, look, it is Bi Health Month this month. And so we're looking at, you know, the effect that homophobia and prejudice in general has on our health. Mm. So it's important to remember, my dear bis, pans, queers and everyone else, drink lots of water, take your medication if you need to, make sure you eat 3 times a day. Have you got any just like good little tips for daily well-being, Josh?
You know what? A little while ago, I saw this incredible image from the internet. I can't remember the source, but it was superheroes of mental health.
Oh, cool.
This is amazing superheroes of, like, eating, sleeping, exercise, like sun and fresh air and all of these different things. They missed out medication, which I think was, you know, a missed opportunity. But, there are lots of things, and they're sometimes pretty simple.
I think the simplicity, we were actually talking about that at work today, and I work for mental health, and we were talking about the simple things, food, water and fun. Like people forget that fun is so
and
key.
And connection. So reach out. Connection, I think there's also, definitely. We're looking at having there'll be a Bi picnic in Edinburgh Gardens this Saturday as well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So you can check out the Bi Plus Community of Melbourne Facebook page or put some information about that us too. Coming up next, stay tuned, is Jason with Local Roots. There'll be a few announcements for that. Thank you so much for joining us, Josh and Al.
Thank you.
And, thanks for having us.
So we'll enjoy your mystery game. So just check out what's happening out in December and see if you start to pick up on any particular moral choices that might be being asked of you. My name's Ruby.
And I'm Jess.
This has been Triple Bypass. Thanks so much for listening. This is Joy 94.9.
You need surgery.
Bisexuality.
Bisexual.
I'm bisexual.
Triple Bypass. The best of both worlds. Triple Bypass on Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.